You are listening to the Fly the W670 podcast, episode 85 of season number 3. The 2024 World Series Spectacular starts on Friday. Don't forget to listen, download, review. Most importantly, subscribe to the podcast, follow on all the socials. Fly the W670 on Twitter, Instagram. Of course, we're on Facebook. Email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. All right, Crowley, we've got the Yankees. We've got the Dodgers, two highest payrolls, or at least two of the top three highest payrolls. Let's talk about how these two teams compare to our Cubs.
Yeah, you know, friend of the pod, Jim Callis, wrote an article on MLB.com that looked at how the Yankees and Dodgers were built. I thought it'd be interesting to compare it with the Cubs roster. So from the article, if you take a look right here, it gives you the numbers, relatively speaking, with the Yankees and the Dodgers. Free agents, obviously, you know what free agent is. A trade or a waiver pickup, and you're probably not going to see too many guys on the waiver pickup being in the lineups. They don't really play that big of a role usually. And then they looked at homegrown talent. And so with homegrown talent, Dustin, that's either through the draft or international free agents. And people may not know what that means, but like if you are from the United States, Canada, or Puerto Rico, you have to declare for the draft. If you're from a different country, you become an international free agent. So it's a little bit different, but it's kind of interesting. And so when I look at the Yankees 26-man roster, four players were drafted by the Yankees, right? Aaron Judge in 2013, pitcher Clark Schmidt 2017, shortstop Anthony Volpe in 2019, and catcher Austin Wells in 2020. So if you look at the Yankees, Dustin, they got three players that are going to be on their roster that they everyday lineup that they're going to be playing with that they drafted. Aaron Judge, not a bad one, huh?
Good pickup. Good pickup. Sometimes you score in the draft, right?
Yep. Two were international signings, but they're not going to be playing that much. 13 of their players were acquired via trade. The biggest ones, 2016, Gleyber Torres, that was the Aroldis Chapman deal, right? In 2017, they picked up Giancarlo Stanton to the Miami Marlins. The Marlins just give everybody away. They're the worst organization, I swear to God. Luis Gil, and another pitcher in 2018. And then in 2024, they got Chaz Chisholm. So those are the guys that you're going to really kind of see a lot of. Obviously, Torres, Stanton, and Chisholm you're going to see in pretty much every game. So most three of those people are in trade. And seven were acquired through free agency. Ready for this? Garrett Cole, $324 million, December 2019. Carlos Rodon, remember him? December 22nd, $162 million. And closer Luke Weaver, he's only making $2 million, so a pretty good deal. But the two big signings, Garrett Cole and Carlos Rodon, and obviously they're going to play a big role in this World Series as well, right?
Huge.
Now, when we look at the Dodgers 26-man roster, they have the least homegrown production of any of the 12 playoff teams. And so five of their players were drafted, but the only two that you're really going to see, they both were from the 2016 draft, their second baseman, Gavin Lux, and their catcher, Will Smith. So those two were draft picks. Two were international signings. 2017, Andy Pajes is a center fielder from Cuba. You're not going to see a lot of him, but he did have a couple home runs in the NLCS. Nine players were acquired via trade. Ready? Mookie Betts from the Boston Red Sox. Kike Hernandez twice Andrew Friedman got him in trades. But 2024, Dustin, look at this trade. That three-team trade with the Cardinals and the White Sox, they pick up Tommy Edman, who was injured at the time of the trade, who became the NLCS MVP, and Michael Kopech, who started the final game and has been an important part of their bullpen. I mean, that's a pretty amazing haul right there to get Mookie Betts, Kike Hernandez, Tommy Edman, and Michael Kopech through trades.
They did a great job during the trade deadline.
And so, Dustin, kind of when we talk about these kind of things, you know, if you're going to be a good team, okay, maybe you don't have a bunch of – maybe the Dodgers don't have a lot of players that they drafted in their starting lineup, but they acquired guys through trade that they, you know, you get what I'm saying? Is that guys that they drafted, they traded away and got guys like Mookie Betts and Tommy Edmonds and Michael Kopech. So, you know, really, really good pickups there. They had two waiver deals. You're not really going to see those guys. but they acquired 8 players through free agency, Dustin. And boy, when you talk about 3-4 of them, they are definitely expensive. 3 of them especially. How about Shohei Ohtani in 2024? They signed him free agency, $700 million, $680 of that deferred. So $20 million salary on that. Then they
gave so they got very lucky on that.
I still don't know how that's legal. Someone smarter is going to have to explain that to me. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, $325 million. Next up, Dustin, in 2022, they got Freddie Freeman for $162 million. Teoscar Hernandez is making 23.5, and their setup man, Blake Treinen, they got in 2019 for $10 million. But when you look at that Freddie Freeman deal for $162 million, when you think about 2022, that's only a couple of years ago, but that seems like it was a really good deal for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Now, when we look at the Cubs, I kind of looked at players that were really significant in the 2024 season. And out of drafts, they had 1, 2, 3, 4 players that really, I would say, played a significant part, at least 3. Justin Steele was drafted in 2014. That still blows my mind that long ago, right? He was actually drafted before Ian Happ. Ian Happ was drafted in 2015. Nico Horner, but remember that Ian Happ went to college and Justin Steele came straight out of high school. So there's going to be a difference there, right?
Yep.
Ian Happ, obviously a little bit more seasoned by the time he was drafted by the Cubs. Nico Horner was a 2018 draft pick, and Porter Hodge, who did a really great job out of the bullpen this year, 2019 draft pick. So 4 players there. International free agent signings, 2. Miguel Amaya and Christopher Morel, who's no longer with the team in 2015, but he was supposed to be a big part of the team. How about the trade, acquired via trade? Kyle Hendricks in 2012. Do you remember who they traded to get Kyle Hendricks?
I don't, no.
That was Ryan Dempster.
Oh, okay.
That was the old Ryan Dempster trade, and so Dempster actually did not want to go. He wanted to go with Ted Lilly. And there was all sorts of kind of craziness. And at the end, they ended up making a deal with the Rangers. And that's how they got Kyle Hendricks. How about PCA in the Javi Baez trade in 2021? Michael Bush was traded for Zaire Hope and Jackson Ferris this year. Now, there's 2 that are interesting, Dustin, because I didn't know how to categorize these. Isak Paredes was an international free agent. The Cubs picked him up when he was just a kid, 16, 17. They traded him to Detroit at the same time they traded Jaimer Candelario. So both of the third baseman they traded for last year and the third baseman they traded for this year, they traded to get Justin Wilson with Detroit. And then Tyson Miller was another Cubs draft pick that they traded to get, or they picked up off the DFA pile from Seattle. So kind of interesting on that one. Now, free agency. You ready for this? Because I think this to me is really kind of the difference here, Dustin, when you talk about the Cubs versus when you talk about the Yankees and the Dodgers. Seiya Suzuki, $85 million. Jameson Taillon, $68 million. That looked like a good deal this year, right? Drew Smyly, not bad, $19 million. And so all 3 of those, you know, that's 2022 you're looking at. Dansby Swanson, he made $177 million. So that Freddie Freeman deal was 20. So that was in 2023 they signed Dansby, $177 million. So I guess when I just look at that, Freddie Freeman is making $162 million. He signed 1 year later. Who would you rather have?
Pretty easy answer, right?
Right. And Cody Bellinger, $80 million free agent signing. Shota Imanaga, $53 million. So on the pitching side, I think they did a really good job with Shota and Jameson this year. They had great seasons, and they didn't cost you, you know, when you talk about the Yankees and you know, signing Gerrit Cole to $324 million. I mean, that's a pretty good deal, but you look at some of the guys that they hit on as far as the Dodgers and the Yankees position players, Ohtani and Freeman and Teoscar Hernandez. But when you look at the Yankees, Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon, I don't see the Cubs. You know, the Cubs' really big signing was Dansby Swanson at $177 million. And to me, he's just a guy that really, he's a great defensive player. But when you're talking that amount of money, I need more out of the offense, you know?
Yes.
Or if that's your highest paid free agent, and we had the same thing with Jason Hayward, you know,
where he was same exact thing.
Now, Dansby's not as bad as Jason Hayward, but again, your highest paid player, you know, what would you say if someone was to ask you, what would you say as far as offensively, where would you rank Dansby Swanson on the Cubs roster?
Fifth.
Right.
Am I being generous? Fifth, I think, is about fair.
I mean, offensively, would you rather have Nico at the plate or Dansby?
Boy. Okay, how about this? I'm going to change the question, sort of. If nobody's on base, I want Nico up. If somebody's on base, I want Dansby up.
Okay.
Nico, I'm not looking this up. I'm just going off of memory. It seems to me that when Nico is up to bat and there's somebody on base, he just drubs the ball to the second baseman every time.
You had the old Jason Hayward 4-3?
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Okay, and so
wait a minute though. No. You got to answer your own question.
I'm just really quick. I'm looking at Nico slashes 246, 313, 364 with runners in scoring position. So if he is 246, and we go to Dansby and take a look at the same. So 246 for Nico, Dansby. If we look at runners in scoring position. Runners in scoring position for Dansby, 246.
Almost exactly the same. Wow.
Almost exactly the same. So you're not really getting that much more bang for your buck. Cody Bellinger, would you rather have Cody Bellinger up than Dansby?
I think so.
Okay. What about Michael Busch?
Last year, yes.
Say a Suzuki, I think would be an easy, right?
Yep.
I'm just
saying. Ian Happ, yes.
Yeah. When you just go through it, man,
that's why I said he's about fifth, right? He's about fifth.
Yeah. I just look at that and I say to myself, hey, you know, it's just interesting to see how these teams are built. And that being said, with the Cubs, they have a lot of young guys in their system, a lot of homegrown talent. They're going to have to trade some of it. But some of it we got to see this year. Obviously, PCA was in a trade. But a young guy right there, Porter Hodge, Luke Little, you know, a lot of these guys came from the Cubs, Daniel Palencia, a lot of these guys came from the Cubs farm system, and hopefully we'll be able to, Jordan Wicks will be able to kind of continue to contribute. Some other Cubs news, Dustin, when you take a look at Nico Horner, we learned this week he underwent right flexor tendon surgery on October 11th. I think, did that come as a shock to you? Were you surprised about that?
Well, I'm not surprised that he might have had something wrong. I guess the question is, why did it take so long to have surgery?
So for people that don't know, the flexor tendon, that's going to be in his forearm of his right hand, which is his throwing hand, right? And so the speed at which he was throwing the ball was a little down, nothing terrible. Offensively, he did pretty well, especially towards the end of the season. Okay, so he didn't go on the injured list at any time in 2024, Nico. He played in 151 games. He missed a few games in May with hamstring tightness. He also suffered a hand fracture when he was hit by a pitch in June. And when you look at the stats, June was when he really struggled offensively. And that's when the team really struggled offensively as well. So that's one that I just don't get with the Cubs. And maybe, you know, like I wish I had like 12 questions to ask Jed Hoyer at CubsCon. You know what I'm saying? Is that why, if he has a fractured hand, you know, why is the guy still, he hit 230 in June, Dustin.
Well, it says that I'll answer the question for Jed because we don't have anybody better. He's the best option. Even a banged up Nico's our best option.
Then that's a real big problem, I guess.
Well, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that's the issue.
Okay. The forum, though, you know, what we're going to take a look at is we don't know what the timeline is going to be. We kind of have a general idea for pitchers, but not for a position player. So it's going to be a little bit different, right? But you have to think, Dustin, that this throws a wrench in Jed Hoyer's offseason plans.
That's the problem.
Right. There's 2 years remaining on his extension. He's set to make roughly $12 million this year, $12 million next year. But the thinking was the Cubs would trade Nico and put Matt Shaw probably at second to try to get more offense. So now that's the question, is how this remains to be seen. You know what I mean?
TBD, buddy. TBD.
Congratulations goes out to Moises Ballesteros and Brandon Birdsell. They were named the minor league players of the year. There was a press release that the Cubs had. I've had a chance to talk to Moises Ballesteros. He is a great kid, and we have an interview today on this episode with Brendan King from the South Bend Cubs. We had Sam Weerhoff a few weeks ago, and just everybody that has ever seen this kid is just raved about him. And so he wins the Buck O'Neill Cubs Minor League Player of the Year award, obviously named in honor of Buck. But Ballesteros has been the minor league player of the year in back-to-back seasons. He won it in 2023. He's a left-handed hitting catcher, and he hit a combined 289 with 24 doubles, one triple, 19 home runs, 70 RBIs, a great on-base percentage, 354, and an 826 OPS in 124 games between AA Tennessee and AAA Iowa. He led all qualified Cubs minor leaguers in average, second in RBIs, third in slug and OPS, and tied for fourth in home runs. He was also the representative for the futures games for the Cubs. And so he's ranked number four as far as Cubs prospects are concerned. When we talk about your offseason plans, the question really is if Cody Bellinger opts out, and I'm hearing more and more that's what it kind of sounds
that's
like.
That's what we're seeing, right? That's a lot right. of the internet buzz is that he's going to opt out.
Then the question is, do you put Seiya Suzuki in right field and call Moises Ballesteros up? Now, I don't know if he's going to give you as much pop as you would expect, but he is a guy that's going to get doubles. He's going to get on base. It'd be interesting to kind of put him out there. Again, that doesn't really solve a guy that's going to hit 40 home runs, but it is a guy that is going to be one of the better hitters you're going to have on this team.
Well, if he's a two-time award winner like that, I mean, what else does he have to prove at that level? Right.
Right. He only has a little more than half a season at AAA. And the jump between AAA and the majors is a lot. So you're going to see what you saw with Cody, with PCA and Michael Bush and Miguel Amaya, where you see those struggles. But it seems to me like he usually doesn't go and struggles too long as far as the glove or as far as with the bat. Now, with the glove, catching-wise, he would probably be better suited as an everyday DH. But if you could have him catch, I don't know, maybe one or two games a week, that might be interesting. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Brandon Birdsell, 24, 8-9 with the 3.91 ERA, 134 strikeouts in 27 games between 27 and Iowa. He led all minor league pitchers in starts, innings pitched, and strikeouts. His walk rate, 5.4%, was the lowest among all Cubs minor league starters. So he had 14 appearances for Tennessee, looked really good. He finished at AAA going 4-5. But he really had 12 straight scoreless innings from August 22nd to 28th. So he improved as he went along. So it'll be interesting to see where I'm sure Birdsell will probably start in AAA this year. But the question would be, how much longer will he be there and how long until he's called up? You see, the Cubs are doing that. And, you know, for me, Dustin, just a big question is how many of the young guys, you saw them call young guys up but not stay healthy with Jordan Wicks, with Ben Brown. With some of these guys, you know, the more arms you have in AAA, I think it's going to be interesting. And how many of those guys are going to come out of the bullpen? So right. I think all of these things are things that we have to look at for next year. And again, when you look at the composition of how these teams look, the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Dodgers use those young players as trade pieces, you know, the Yankees, not as much, but they did as well. So these drafts, these international free agent signings, they make a big deal when they come to comprising your team and when you're trying to get to that next level.